So in this lecture, we will talk about school culture that would promote well-being. First of all, I would like you to go back to your own school time and think about what do you remember about your school. You can take a specific time spot of your school days, for instance, third grade or sixth grade. Try to find something very concrete to focus on that time. And think about what kind of atmosphere you had in the school. When you entered the school garden or school building, what did you feel and what did you experience? And then you can think about these questions that I have put here. What kind of activities did your school organize? Did you have some common events? How did teachers relate with students? Were they saying hello every morning and every day? And how did they greet you? Did they ask how you are? And how did students relate with other? Did you have a nice and warm atmosphere? Was there some bullying going on? Was there some serious problems? Or how could you describe that? And also, if you can remember, can you remember anything about how teachers reacted to each other, how they collaborated with each other? And also, how your parents were involved with the school, or were parents invited to school, and how they were they asked anything, or did they involve somehow in developing the school culture? And did the students participate in decision making? Were your opinions asked? And also, overall, the climate, how was it? Because we are talking about school culture, in Finnish we use a lot of word toimintakulttuuri, and this is quite often stated in the national curriculum, so there is really strong tendency of that we are developing our toimintakulttuuri, which is directly translated operational or operating culture, but I think internationally more common is to use school culture or organizational culture, where this term is originally coming from. And as I said, there is in curriculum, the goal is to create a school culture that promotes learning, participation, well-being, and sustainable way of living. And well-being is really mentioned 140 times in this national core curriculum for basic education. So really emphasized topic nowadays. But basically, what the toimintakulttuuri or school culture means, and very shortly, it's the way we are doing things around here. So that's the very short definition of school culture. When we go a bit deeper, I borrowed these texts from the national curriculum, and there it said that it's the manifestation of the school culture are found in the community's practices. So I think that toimintakulttuuri, operating culture, is directly a kind of referring to practices, how we do the things. So that's why it's a kind of describing it well, the Finnish language term for school culture. In the national curriculum, it's also stated that it comprises practices that are shaped by its history and culture. So kind of repeating the culture word. But still, it's a kind of saying that it's embedded quite deeply in that school. So it's not something that just suddenly appears, but it's developing little by little. And but that it can be changed, and that's one of the goals when we try to make school more healthy environment, for instance. And in that international curriculum, the operating culture is stated to consist of interpretation of the norms that direct the work and the goals of activities. So when we think about the legislation or the mandates that are coming from national curriculum, each school is interpreting these things in their own way, and they act upon how they interpret them. So that's why sometimes, even if there is a clear statement that this should be done, different schools interpret it differently, and they put different value or value on it. School culture is also about the leadership and the organization, planning, implementation, and evaluation of work. So it's a kind of huge thing in the school. They also say that it's competent development of the community, pedagogy and professionalism, interaction, atmosphere, everyday practices and learning environments. So it's a lot of things that are embedded in the within the school. What I wanted to raise from these long texts are three things. First of all, often school culture, it can be conscious, and one of the aims is to make us more conscious what it's about, to recognize the underlying things that come that influence our way of doing things in the practices we do things, because there are some things that we are influenced often by unconscious factors that we don't really realize in everyday work. But the important thing that these are socialized. So when we have new students and they enter schools, little by little they socialize to these practices, even if they are not always adequate or even if they are not so good. But it can also be the other way around when you enter to a very good school where they have a strong school culture and a good atmosphere, then of course the teacher socializes to the good things. So it's good to be aware that when you enter to an organization or school, you will first see the different things, things are done this way here, but in a little time, it's just done that way and you don't realize it anymore. So other thing that the national curriculum is emphasizing that we need to really recognize the conscious and unconscious part of it and consciously develop the school culture toward more healthy way of being, and as I said, well-being is emphasized. And what we know that of course this kind of development needs commitment, respect and trust. So we need open discussion about the things that, because there can be aspects that are done this way many years, and if we go and say that this is not the correct way, it can really cause also problems. I think this was nicely said. I found this just recently in a Yle news that they were talking about how the gender normative words and the ways of doing things have been kind of that they are very old traditions, these schools still nowadays. And when a newcomer teachers goes to that schools, it's a kind of shock to see that, okay, these are as 20 years ago when I was in the school. So I have now my teacher training in a very modern ways, and I have very different views about these things, but it's a shock to see that actually they still do the things as they used to do, and the world is changing, but this school is not necessarily. And as one teacher student said, that as a new teacher, it would be just easy to make sense, just simply integrate and do as is customary to do instead of trying to change it. And this is, I think it's very good, Edgar Chain's model of organizational culture, and I think it's nice to look at it and think about how it fits with this school culture ideas. And when we look at the figure, he's putting here down that there are the more unconscious features, and then when it comes to here up at the top, they are the conscious aspects of the school culture. And when we look at the artifacts, so it's the visible structure processes that are taking place in the school, the practices, activities that they do, how people interact, how they say hello. So they are what you see and observe when you enter the school, and they are kind of building up from the down. So these are the how the things are essentially done. But the things what influences these artifacts or what we see and observe are the values and goals. And often they can be sometimes unconscious also, but I think the aim is now to make them conscious. And really, if you go to school and ask teacher that or principal that what kind of school is this? And this is the level what they tell you. Our school is really caring. We really care about our students, and the well-being is the value number one in our schools. Of course, it could be something else as well, but this would say that they explicitly said that this is our priority. And not all schools are doing it, saying that well-being is the priority, but quite many are. all schools maybe say that well-being is important, but not all schools are saying that this is really something that we put on the top of everything. And then there are the underlying values. So as I said, there can be schools that say that yes, well-being is important, but there can be some basic assumptions that are rooted deep down in the staff thinking or in principals thinking that how things should be done and what is actually teachers' duties in the school. And these kind of beliefs and attitudes, unconscious norms, they influence eventually how we do these things and are we doing them, or we can actually do some well-being program. But if we still think that yes, this is just something that we just have to do, then these things influence negatively to what we are doing, even if we have a concrete tools to do it. But this also can influence to where resources are put, and very important to try to understand, try to capture the underlying assumption. And I think in this next slide, I have, yes, as I said, the goal is to make them conscious. And I think I have here, yes, the examples that, yes, the artifacts are the atmosphere, collaboration. So if you can see, for instance, in teacher's room, you enter teacher's rooms and you can say, hey, come to sit with us. That tells something about the culture among the professionals. And if you see children on the garden and there is one child alone, if teachers go upstairs and say that, okay, you are here alone, would you like to play with others? Instead of looking at the child and thinking, okay, he probably wants to play alone. And I mean, this kind of like how you actually act in the situations, these are the visible cultural how they appear in the school. About the exposed values and goals, as I said, this I already explained, that how they describe the school, these can reveal a lot about the underlying values and goals, and often they are explicit, but not always. But this is very interesting, how can we go into the basic assumptions? And I think this is rooted, for instance, in the thinking of what is my duty as a teacher? So am I here to teach and then other things are something extra? Or am I here to really help these children to learn and integrate into society? So my goal as a teacher is to support these children. And this kind of attitude would also mean that well-being is like more likely also considered as my responsibility. So I think there are kind of attitudes and things that we need to capture, and these are not present immediately, but you can kind of smell them from the school's attitudes. Yes. And I think there are changes in recent years. So in the other video, I was explaining how this communal welfare work, it's not so new in Finland, but it's more recently coming. So there have been very strong autonomy and pedagogical freedom in teachers. Schools are pretty much, or classrooms, led by teachers' activities. And then also there is a lot of discussion about home versus school responsibilities. And the development and trends seems to be like this. So instead of autonomy and pedagogical freedom, it doesn't mean that we would need to give up them, we need the autonomy, but there is more emphasis on communal work, teamwork, collaboration and shared practices. And this is one of the goals when we try to develop schools, that we actually have the whole school approaches that the teachers agree. And when we think about middle schools, for instance, where one teacher changes classrooms, one classroom has several teachers, so I think it's very important to have this kind of shared idea of how we raise children in this school. Teacher-led activities are contrasted by stronger student participation, and school as an autonomous unit is contrasted by network and collaboration with NGOs and, for instance, police could come to school and more close connections with social work. And then when we think about homeschool, collaboration. I think it's still very often the way that schools inform parents about how things are done, but I think the recommendation is nowadays that there would be more and more interactive discussion about how we want to do things in this school. Yes, and as we in the previous video, I brought up some ideas from our own survey, and this survey which we did in 2020, just before corona outbreak, we wanted to understand how school personnel actually describe well-being work in the school. And in the previous talk, I told about the limited and more comprehensive perspective. Here we have a kind of analysis on the open-ended responses. What kind of things they describe when we ask what is well-being work? How do you do well-being work in the school? And as we can see here, we found four themes, and one is as the strongest is student well-being. So they aim to promote students' well-being, and that's of course the main idea of well-being work. Second theme was that they were describing about the actions what they do in the school. Third was work community well-being, which was raised quite strongly, that also the work community needs to be healthy in order to help children. And then the fourth important topic was value-based and the leadership in the school. And with my colleague Pilvi Hämeen, whom we collected and have been analyzing this data, we have been like starting to see this well-being more as a process instead of being something that is there or is not there. And I think my colleague said the word process first, meaning that it's a kind of developing thing, but then we started to talk that actually these are kind of constantly changing or different parts that are taking action in the school, within the school. So I think one of the element is the shared values and goals and structures. So if there are these explicit statements that explicitly thought that this school is that we really promote well-being in this school, then that has more chance to be realized in the actual activities. And of course, like leadership and how the resources are directed is influenced by these values. Or it can also be that if the principal has put importance on this, he or she will direct the resources also to well-being work more. Another important component, of course, is this work community. So the staff members in the school, and they are the people who realize well-being work in the school. So we cannot just ignore that, but it's something that we need to put more and more effort on. And I think it's also the work community well-being. So we need to promote teachers and other staff well-being in the school. Also the collaboration, work division, and engage everybody in the decision-making and thinking that how can we really together make this school a better place for our students and ourselves. And then the third part, what I see here as a one circle, is the actual programs and activities. So what I try to say here is that we have this in this course, we are looking at some programs, but it needs much more. It needs the staff, it needs the value base and the groundwork so that the school will actually be, we would promote well-being in that school. But what I also see with my experience with the Kiva program, for instance, that when we implement the whole school program or an approach, there is a chance that when this starts to circle, it starts to move also these other circles. So the well-being culture could start from the values. We could start talking about what is important value, but it could actually start also with actions. So we start doing something that guides us, our actions, our behavior, and then that actually then flows down to our, that like we start doing things differently and then we realize, oh, this is actually a good thing. And then we may actually change our values or at least see the values better. Of course, schools are not autonomous, as I said already. They tend to have a lot of autonomy, but especially at the moment, teachers and school staff are very pressured with a lot of and requirements coming from the national curriculum changes, and also the Welfare Act was changing. There have been a lot of going on in schools in recent, let's say, 10, 15 years that schools have needed to adjust with, and there is a lot of tiredness as well, but also enthusiasm. So we created a kind of cloud around the school, which would be this machine within the cloud. So it's a kind of functioning in itself, but there are a lot of things outside that influence that machine and its functioning. We have a national regulation, for instance, then we have local features, but there can be other things that influence the school system, how functional it is. Yes, but these are my thoughts today for you to continue the discussion at the seminar. Thank you.